joining us as we continue our look. See, I just said it. Welcome to Covenant Orthodox Presbyterian Church. As we look at the Shorter Catechism, in particular this morning, we are looking at question 12 of the Shorter Catechism, which leads us to God's special act of providence towards man, or the covenant of works. Now, the covenant of works is one of those doctrines that many flee from. They dislike it because they think it undermines justification by faith alone, or they have problems with it because they say, oh, it's not there in the Bible. Though, as we'll see this morning, it is, though by not by those words. So let's get into it. And when I say many, I'm talking even myself. For many years, many years, it wasn't until I was just about completed doing doctoral studies that it dawned on me. Well, actually, I think I was actually, it was while I was finished writing my dissertation when I saw the plainness of it in Scripture. But let's come to our question this morning. What special act of providence did God exercise towards man in the estate wherein he was created? When God had created man, he entered into a covenant of life with him upon condition of perfect obedience, forbidding him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil upon pain of death. Just one of the criticisms that either I've made or heard is, oh, you're dealing with hypotheticals, because a lot of it is the hypothetical that had Adam been confirmed in righteousness, he would have entered into the estate of life. Well, no, that's not speculation. That's plain Scripture, but we'll get there. After God had created man, so Genesis 2. So there's another criticism of it. Well, in Genesis 2, you don't see the language of covenant. Now, one of the less persuasive arguments from one who disagrees with it is the use of the verbs in Genesis when it talks about covenants. So, for example, in Genesis 6, when God makes his covenant with Noah, he uses a verb, hakim, which is the argument goes, is to confirm, and so therefore there must have been an existing covenant. And so therefore, in this line of argument, the covenant with Noah is a continuation of a previous covenant, and since that's the first time we use covenant, we can see that there. Now, I think there's something to that argument, but again, it's persuasive. Strength is very weak for those who disagree with it. So we're not going to... I bring that up just to show you that there are arguments that are in line with it, but are not persuasive. So after God created man, we see in Genesis 2, God made the garden, he made man, then he planted... he made man, then he planted the garden, then he planted man in the midst of the garden. So after God had created man, God entered a covenant of life with him. And so, as we see that you have the elements of a covenant here, even though you don't have the word. After the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of the tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. So we see here both positive provision in his commands, you may eat, and we have sanctions. We have for you may not eat. You have him forbidding, that with sanctions. And so those are the elements that we see in some covenants. And so we see the level of scrutiny that God uses. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Now Leviticus 18:5. The argument goes, well, that's given later. Yes, but we see the standard whereby God judges, that perfect, personal, and perpetual obedience is God's standard. But where else? Is there anywhere else in the Old Testament that even mentions this idea of Adam and covenant? Well, yes, there is. It's Hosea. Now, as Byron Curtis, in an article he wrote in The Law Is Not of Faith, which I think came out about 2009, 2010, somewhere around that time frame, points out, the whole, you know, if it was just this one throwaway line, and there have been a lot of people who tried to dismiss it, it'd be an easy knockout. But Curtis, in his article, demonstrates that the whole book of Hosea, it is making allusions and references to Adam in the garden. So with the whole book dealing with it, you see, but like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt faithlessly with me. The preposition, now in English it's a separate word, but in Hebrew, the preposition ka can be like or as. And so, but like Adam or as Adam did, they transgressed a covenant. So as Adam transgressed a covenant, well, what covenant did Adam transgress? Well, the covenant in the garden with God, the covenant of works, the covenant of life. So Israel has transgressed the covenant made at Sinai. And so the argument here is not that Sinai is a covenant of works, but just that both of them were in covenant with God, and both Adam and the garden transgressed the covenant, and so Israel transgressed the covenant. We could go through the whole of Romans 5. We also see it again in 1 Corinthians 15. So through Adam came death, so in the last Adam comes life. And finally, but that's just one commandment. Well, what does James say? For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point becomes guilty all of it all. Now, we also can see this in Leviticus 4 and 5, where you have Hebrew constructions that are, they're not completely difficult, but yet they're not straightforward, and so you get a little difference in the translation. But the import of them is that when a man, or when a soul, I forgot which it is, transgress or sins against any of the laws, he breaks the whole of it. So it's not just James, we also see it in Leviticus. And so we see this idea of perfect personal perpetual obedience in the covenant of works carries over, because that is the standard whereby God judges all flesh. And so we see that when God created man, he entered into a covenant of life with him. That means promising life upon condition of perfect obedience, forbidding him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil upon pain of death. And so next time, we'll pick up there with the question, did he keep that covenant or break it? Well, you know the answer. Thank you for joining us, and God bless.